Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How you doing this week or this month?
This month. It has been a while. Man, I'm doing well. It's good to be back recording again. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, it has been a while. I feel like I know we had usually get slower in the summer anyway. We usually might have alternating family things. And yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go look back at the log, but it's probably been at least a month, right?
Yeah, something like that. Well, you've been away on vacation and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, the last 2 weeks of August, we took a big family trip. I think I've mentioned it before, but we're in this, at least age of the kids, where we're really trying to do like some bigger trips for like core memories types of things. Mm. So not all the time, but just enough. And also thinking about that, I know it's mentioned in other circles before, where you're like, if you really think about it, you only have maybe, I don't know, like, let's say like 15 quality vacations mm-hmm. with your kids. And, you know, and you start to go like, that's not that many, right? Or you're like, okay, it's going to be pretty quick to run through those like type of thing. So yeah, we did a big trip to Europe, went to Italy, went to Greece, a bunch of places. So it was really fun.
Oh, that's really cool. I'm sure they'll have some memories of that. Like, that's pretty unique to be able to go and visit those places.
Yeah, and they're at a good age for it. Like, my son's super into like mythology. I think I was at that similar age. And so he was kind of almost even out touring the tour guide in some of the places of talking about, this is where like Athena and Poseidon had an argument and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh.
That's really cool. It's neat to see the history too, eh? Like all of the really old stuff that's been there for like thousands and thousands of years.
Oh yeah. Like just, you know, versus their day-to-day see in the U.S. things that are, you know, you're lucky if you see something that's been around for 100 years, but then going walking in these towns, like one of them, you know, we went to Venice and there's like the canals and all these like buildings, and you just see just people having to be, I guess, creative with buildings and things like that, because certain things are just part of the core structure or and whatnot. So it's kind of, it's all pretty neat to see, like a closest thing to a whole different world.
Yeah, no kidding. That's really cool that you guys got to do that. Nice.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been working like crazy. I've just been having a lot of consulting things have been coming in. So I've been trying to keep up with that and trying to find a contractor to help me out because it's just getting to be a little too much. So I've been working on that, which has been interesting. And I've been working a little bit on the that Order TRK project. And I actually did want to run a few things past you, if you don't mind on that.
Yeah. Or on either topic, fine to chat sure, about whatever.
So I've been doing a bunch of outreach. So I think I told you that I had done a number of customer interview kind of things where I reached out to people and then I would ask them a bunch of questions and, you know, kind of about their problems and that sort of thing. And I kind of took about 20 or so of those and formulated kind of an idea of a solution around those items and kind of pitched that to those original people. They seem pretty excited about it. And so now I've been trying to go to people with those same pain points and just trying to automate it a bit more. And I've just been getting really horrible response, just like crickets. And I've tried like a couple different messaging sequences. I can get the connections really well on LinkedIn. So there's like the initial connection is working, but just like no response on like anything. And so I'm just kind of a little bit disheartened, not sure if maybe I'm messaging wrong or maybe, you know, maybe there's something I missed in my research or something like that.
I mean, you're going from, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you went from a like connecting, getting help, asking for help type of thing to this, which I think you said you had a pretty firm playbook on, and that was pretty effective in your initial, when we talked about like, can you reach customers? Can you go to market? Right. And then now that you have a more solid idea and a solution and pain points, now you're basically going from asking for help to sort of like pitching a bit more, right? Like, is the tone different? Like, it's now all of a sudden it's like you want something from them versus you were asking for help, where now you're like asking for money.
Yeah. So I think you're right. It has transitioned a little bit, but like I've tried to keep it still in the like please help me kind of side of things. So previously the please help me was just like very open-ended. I'd just like to hear about your problems. And now it's more gone to, hey, how about this specific area? And I've tried a couple of the different pain points related to that. My first iteration, I did do kind of a salesy thing and it just nothing. And this one that I've got for the last number of weeks has been, yeah, I guess a few responses here and there, but nothing really of substance.
I mean, if someone was asking me about a pain point, I smell a sale, sure. Right? So,
yeah.
So it kind of goes in terms of that seems to be the difference, unless there's some other changes we're not aware of, like just changes in, you know, LinkedIn reach or some of those other things. But you said the first connection isn't fine. The rest of the stuff seemed, and I'm assuming you probably have more of the similar process that you were to doing that outreach as before. It's just the ask is different, right? Or it's coming,
yeah.
Or it's at least being received differently.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think the ask is a little bit different. It's more focused. And I think you're right. Maybe they do just smell a sale. Like I did have a number of people that, because the what I'm sending it through an automation tool. And so some people will just reply with these really quirky responses just to get out of the AI loop. And you can tell they know what they're doing. And yeah, I had a few kind of fun conversations out of that. But I think you're right. The ask is different. And I wonder if maybe like people are willing to share problems when you ask, like, tell me about your problems, but they maybe aren't, maybe those problems aren't so bad, or maybe they aren't equipped enough to be able to think about a solution or even think in that direction. Right. Or maybe they just really don't like sales. I don't know.
I mean, I get the tough part about that, as I would say, if it's smelling of a sale, like, I don't know, you've heard that probably statistic of about, you know, how many people are actually like in market for a solution, right? So like now you're kind of squeezing into that where like, I don't, like dealing with a sale is sort of, unless you're, it's like on your to-do list, like to buy something, it's kind of a pain, right? It's out of whatever you have on your priority list, whatever you have on your checklist of things to do that day. It's like, if I get on a call, am I going to basically have to be like, be pitched? And I'm like drawn into this conversation of this guy talking about these things. And I'm just like, at the end of it, it's like, I don't have a budget. I don't have a need. And actually this is not a priority. I don't care. Right. So like, like if that's where your brain is going, like if I'm smelling a sale, like there's no reason to even respond. Right. Or even get into it because I don't even want to have the conversation that I don't even want to have to tell you, like, I'm not interested because I keep telling people that. And now who knows, maybe you'll listen. Maybe you'll just come back in a month. And like, do I want to deal with that right now? Whereas someone that is opening and listening to your problems and you're helping someone out, you know, the expectation that there, it isn't a sale, right? There is like, I am truly just like brain dumping or, and this is value add for someone is just hearing about my problems. Or like someone's like, I'd love to just like hear about your stuff. Maybe there's something I can do. Maybe there's not, you know, but just that's all, that's my ask. And you know, if they're sitting on that receiving end of that call or you're on the other end and they're just, you're just hearing them out, like that's, that's a value add to them too. Like, oh yeah, I get to kind of vent and talk about my problems. Someone's interested in my world. Right. But there's nothing in it for them, or doesn't seemingly, there's no real incentive for them to like, to sell me something or something. I don't know. So
yeah,
without looking at the transcripts and without looking at all the stuff. And again, I've never done any outbound, so I don't have any experience with that per se. All the sales we've done are all like inbound, already in cycle, in interest. And at the worst, the coldest ones we get coming in there are the ones like, hey, I was interested in this, but like, okay, what is it you guys do? Like, sell it to me. And those are usually the hardest because you're like, I don't even know where to start if you don't have a problem. And now I'm just supposed to cold sort of like, tell you what we do. Like that's usually you're the one coming in with questions and I'm just answering questions and helping you get.
Yeah. And I think that is kind of be the nature of this, though. I don't think many people are looking for a solution, like maybe like Googling around and that they would be able to even find me in all the noise of things. Right. So I think like outbound is going to have to be the nature of it for a while.
Right. Maybe just the rates are different, right? Like, I feel like what I would probably start to do is maybe study some outbound content. I have a couple newsletters that talk about outbound just because it's like, sometimes I just read this stuff, but I'll send you a couple resources. I know I have another Bootstrap friend that runs Quick Mail. It's like an outbound solution, but either way, you can take their, most of them are talking about email, but you can look at those, understand the cadences, understand the types of thing, and also just understand what is average. Because you went from probably a, like, I think you were like, hey, I get like a 20% conversation rate out of like these connections, which is unheard of from outbound. But like, if you go look and someone's like, 5%, you're killing it. And it, you'd be like, well, if I'm comparing myself to my, like, you know, help Nate out, join my design committee, just like be on a panel, like be, you know, just I'm just doing customer interviews, customer research type of things. Like that's might help reframe, like, actually I'm doing fine. I'm doing okay. And I can't expect as much as high a response.
Yeah, for sure. That does make sense. I am getting around 3% response rate for the current version. Like the responses have all been no, or like just like, you know, leave me alone. Yeah, I think that's tricky because you're talking about like not people not being in market. And I have read some stuff on outbound just to like try to prepare myself for it. And one kind of thing people talked about a few times was just like giving content that's just generally useful to that crowd as opposed to something that focuses on the one solution that you have. And so I did try to do that a bit, but I found that the results from that were actually really poor. Maybe I'm just really bad at copywriting. I got to try a few more iterations or something. But I think when it comes as a direct message, especially on LinkedIn, it kind of feels like, I think you're, like you were saying before, it just smells like a sale. I think even if you're, you know, trying to provide value or
like, what type of content are you doing?
So I did do like a bunch of like, a bunch of research on customer service and how to improve customer service and kind of the latest trends and the demands from customers on various things. And I built a landing page and like I had this whole workflow that you would like, you could link through to it from the LinkedIn message. People didn't really resonate with the content very well. People would open it and look at it, but like no one really clicked through. I could give that another try. It could have been that the format I was using wasn't great. Cause I think that was when I was using the sponsored format. And so right away they see the sponsored message and they're just like, eh, you know, versus if I just direct emailed that to them. But yeah, it was just like statistics and like helpful solutions and that sort of thing.
I wonder, and maybe this is like, this is an idea, but going from your tact of like asking for help, but could you do that more at scale by also doing, you know, I know you put together some content, but can you, what if they're a participant, right? Like, so what you're doing is in your outreach, you are saying, hey, I'm doing a survey on this industry and on services in this industry. Can you take 5 minutes and, you know, fill out this survey? And also you'll be like one of the first ones to get the results. So naturally, like when someone, I feel like if they're going to participate, right? Like it's like, okay, yeah, I'll be happy to like contribute to a study. Kind of similar ask that we were talking about of just like, hey, I'm helping out a thing. And also you've also asked for permission to contact them again and you get the report, right? And then it's sort of like and the questions you could ask are also similar to like, do you have these pain points? Like, you know, you could sprinkle in like some of these types of things, right? The type of questions you want and the type of things and just sort of like, I don't know. It's funny being on this side, but thinking about it as like a, how can you like ask for help, but sort of have some side of brand connection. But even if you are ultimately, you do give value and that's what you give back to. Like if you're giving value to them, like it still feels good, right? So even if you are like, hey, I've got 101 and it's valuable to them, make sure the questions you're asking are things that could be interesting. I think it was Mike or someone else that we know that was doing, they were doing content around like, I think like salary surveys or something like that.
Okay.
Again, that's like a naturally interesting thing to any one individual. Like, well, let me, I do wonder what, you know, how salaries have changed. Like it's just a natural like curiosity thing, right?
So yeah, that is interesting as a way to get people engaged and then also to get some awareness. Because I think once you like, if you come across as like serving the community, then that's kind of a natural way for people to connect. And I think a lot of these customer service people do live in silos.
Especially we are talking about a specific industry that probably doesn't have as much like trade organizations or other things, they're small enough on the radar or niche enough or boutique enough, right? Because you're still talking about like manufacturing. So making sure the questions are like tuned more towards that. So at the end of it, it is actually like really helpful. And maybe what you're, maybe it also leads to like how I would shape a product around these certain pain points. And then it also gives you potentially the ability to reply specifically to a person. Also have some write-in stuff so you can have like, you know, some other fodder, like some qualitative.
Some quotes and, yeah.
Yeah. And also even to reply back to them. Hey, I saw you say this, yeah, this thing, yeah, or you answered this. Was wondering if I could, you know, talk to you more about that or, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does sound interesting.
So, yeah. I don't know. The other piece, I last week we talked about this whole like willingness to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Survey. Did you ever do any of that with the features and whatnot?
Yeah. So I tried to, with my connection sequence, to ask them about, you know, the value of a self-serve customer portal. And
with this is with which group?
This
new people this or group, or the 3% old people?
The new group.
Okay.
And that was kind of how I pitched it. I pitched it as research for our product.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of along these pain points, you know, kind of what do you think the, like, this is worth to you in like a scale of 1 to 100 kind of thing. And yeah, just like pretty much no response on that. I think I got maybe one or two. And so it's like, that's after like, you know, 700 messages or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. Like that's pretty low response. And it just makes me wonder if like there's even a willingness to pay for any sort of solution in that direction for this group of people. Like it sounds very different from some of the other purchase discussions that I hear from, like, you know, hey, we need a new productivity tool or something like that. It's like, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll throw money at something that works, basically.
Right. Right. Well, I was more surprised you didn't ask your, like the people you've already have a warmer relationship with.
Yeah. I don't think I did. I could double check. It's been a little while since I started on this path. So. Can check that. It's also one of the hard things of doing consulting at the same time. It's like to remember where everything is at. It's a little bit tricky.
Right. Right. Yeah. It'd be interesting in asking that because those are going to be a stronger, I would think, well, one, you're already going to get more answers quickly. So mm-hmm. like, and understanding that piece. Cause I think getting back to that element of understanding those pieces, cause then it kind of opens up more of that, potentially that conversation, right. With people, mm-hmm. cause you still haven't built it yet, which is good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So like, right. And this is good. I mean, this is, you're spending more time understanding the customer, understanding if there's something worth doing here. Right. Cause, but once you did have something, it also changes kind of the trajectory of your pitch a little bit too, like even to the cold people, then it's also like, instead of just pitching and asking them questions, it also becomes more of like, hey, I'm wondering if this, but like, if you're interested, like I have a couple customers that have done this type of thing and you can read about them. So it's mm-hmm. a very, you know, a low commitment way to kind of find out more, and you already are backing it up with proof, right? So like yeah. once you have a couple that is, you know, then that, but yeah. So, but that just kind of aids in your ability to have proof in the sale and to handle objections and other things like
that. Yeah. Yeah. I think I got to try out at least making sure I've contacted those existing people, and then also looking into doing some sort of survey or something like that. I think that'll be some good next steps to try and figure this out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you could dual purpose it too, is like have some survey questions and ideas and like also ask them too. So I would start with your warm people and help get them to help you kind of almost develop the search. So it's like, hey, here's a couple questions of, you know, or what else would you ask? What else would you wonder about your mm-hmm. own industry and about, like, you know, what you're struggling with? And you basically, it's like anytime someone's struggling, they want to know, is it just me or is this average? Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. even just the fact that you came here today and on this call, we're asking about like response rates and these types of things. And you're like, hey, something doesn't feel right. I just want to know. And then we came up, mm-hmm. you know, we ended up with being like, well, maybe the benchmark is actually okay. And half of it's just like, I just need more shots because it's a different game.
Yeah. Yeah. That is helpful to hear, because yeah, seeing the drop in response rate so significant, it's like, well, what's going wrong? Yeah. Okay. That's really helpful. I really appreciate your input on that. How are things at your business?
They're pretty good. I don't know. We have a good focus on what we're doing, just kind of working through the pieces. Like, we know what our more or less our business bottlenecks or our rate limiting steps are. I don't know. I would say I've had a pretty good summer with a lot of this stuff. Just I've been very focused on product, very focused on, like, you know, ways to, I would say, like, increase launch rates, increase, like, customers having more success, and just realizing how much of an opportunity there is there for us. Not that we weren't sure before. It was just, it's easy to get distracted with everything else that's in motion, you know, other product things, other team initiatives. Yeah. So yeah, the biggest thing I've done, I think I've mentioned it before, is like, we just kind of turned off any sort of marketing activity that is meant like targeted towards growth versus targeted towards like maintenance. So we've been keeping up with our newsletter, which parallels well with product releases, and kind of improving the copy and the messaging and all of that stuff in there. And it's actually been doing well. Month over month, we get more and more opens and more people. Like, obviously we're having a funnel of new people coming in, but overall, like, the rate of people, you know, like, any given newsletter right now has close to 6,000 unique opens. So it's like, okay. And that's up from maybe close to 5,000 probably in May. So it's like, okay. So it's like, all right, can we keep doing that? And it just means we're holding attention longer, right? So even people that are, they're not falling off. They're staying engaged and whatnot, or at least interested enough to what we have to say.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's cool. Have you guys been affected with all this, like, the AI search stuff?
That's where I've been also ignoring. I haven't been doing anything. So SEO, AI search, all that stuff. Anytime I see an interesting tactic or an interesting article or something like that, I bookmark it and I sock it away. And right now the focus, again, just having extreme focus on the things we want to do in the product and in our customer services has essentially been the biggest thing. And I was like, okay, if leads go down because we're not actively, like, doing new things, like, or wherever the axe may fall on SEO this month, you know, honestly, it ebbs and flows. Like, it's almost like a nice thing, because it's like, you hear all these news and there's a ranking update. You know, now there's AI mode, or now these, all these stuff. And I just don't get worried about it anymore, because I just watch, and it's like, I think June was down, but then August was, or July was, like, all of a sudden had a big jump in SEO. And then that kind of settled down. But then, like, August, a good surge in leads, even though it wasn't clear where they were coming from.
Weird.
Here's the thing. It's like, I've gotten comfortable with just letting it be alone.
Yeah. Well, it's probably nice though, because, like, you're not, like, the SEO by nature is going to go up and down, right? Because as soon as they put out any update on Google, so then it's like, you're just going to ride that high and low every month. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, it was hard at first, because it's like, you're wondering all the time, like, how much of the stuff I'm doing on a day-to-day basis is what's keeping the ship afloat, right? Or is what's keeping this rate of new prospects or new interest in our services. And then you don't do any of it, and it kind of stays the same. One, you could be like, oh, I was annoyed that, what was I doing before? And I was just making, you know, I'm over there like doing things that maybe ultimately weren't adding up or mattering.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to just sort of like, okay, well, whatever's out there in terms of our own word of mouth and our own other activities, and that the lead magnets, all the things we have that are going in, that are just, you're not updating them, you're not putting any new effort or new energy into them, and that it is just keeping the status quo. Is like, okay, it's like, if that stays the same, but I can improve some of other metrics, like, cool, we're cooking.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. I'm glad that's worked out well for you.
The biggest thing is the peace of mind, honestly. It's like,
yeah,
it feels nice, because then it's like, I can 100% focus on the other stuff without anxiety, without feeling like you're missing something or letting something else down or letting something fall.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear things are going well over there.
How's the school year kicking off for you?
Yeah, it's going well. Kids are all back at it, and with varying levels of excitement. My oldest daughter is going to grade one now. I think it's grade one. Yeah. And so she's like, well, I did this last year, you know, ho hum. Like, oh, okay, come on.
Right.
It's good. They're learning lots, and it's good to have for them to have some structure in their day too. How about for your kids?
Yeah, both of them had some pretty big transitions. One is my younger one, Benjamin, who's going from 6th to 7th grade, which should be in the same school, but he's moving to a whole new school. So it's a charter school, and it's a longer bus and all these things. And he has to wear a uniform now. And I don't know, has his grumbles, but at the same time, I think it's been good for him. But it's a lot of change. Good. Brand new school, like the school itself is the first year they're running it, not just physical school. Like it's a whole new thing. So there's definitely some bumps and some disruptions to it. But yeah, we're at the end of the 2nd week now. And my daughter started high school, and that's been, so she's
those are big changes. So far
going well. Yeah. Yeah. So, and we got back from our trip on a Sunday. We're jet lagged from, traveling across the Atlantic, and school was the next day. So, and we knew it. It was like sort of how where we could fit that trip in.
Yeah.
But it was good because of the jet lag. They were like up at 3 a.m. ready to go to school.
Okay.
The next day, and it lasted for a few days. And this week now it's like the harder press, like waking them up at, waking them up to get ready for school.
That's actually probably kind of handy for the first couple of days. You know,
it wasn't bad.
Good stuff. Well, it's good. Cool. Good talking to you today, Josh.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later. Have a good
one. Sounds good. See ya. Bye. Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher and Josh is at J Logic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups, or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.